are in a new format, mixing news and the exploration of the Illuminati occult. We are back to our good old ways here.
Oh my goodness, it's the Dance Macabre, guys. Ah! We're back!
What did we do this week? We celebrated a 10th year wedding anniversary.
He was so romantic.
I was romantic.
I wasn't expecting
I was romantic.
You were romantic.
So 50 years together and 10 years of marriage. We have actually a painting here that you did based on our original wedding pic that we seem to have left back in Italy, probably. But this is basically our Elvis impersonator.
Yeah.
And
there's Rambo. Where's his faccia?
I don't know. It's been, I don't know. This is what we have here.
Well, probably, that's not the whole pic.
It's not there, but this is
Rambo's
actually...
Rambo's in there and he's wearing a tux and it looked really cute.
But we had to leave him back at the Four Seasons in Las Vegas.
If you read my book, then yes, you can hear all about what he did.
And what happened when we went back to the hotel? There were a group of Mexicans shouting, Gucci screaming panic! And
Gucci? His name is not Gucci, it's Rambo.
Just because he had a Gucci collar, they called him Gucci.
I guess they see a lot of Gucci
subject
there at the Four Seasons.
I guess
and don't forget, I need to say the
No, but of course, but I have to announce what we're doing today. We are going to be talking about Karl Marx, because tomorrow, actually today in some parts of the world, the 5th of May, 2024, we are celebrating, but we're not really celebrating, 206 years from the birth of that Satanist called Karl Marx. Okay. So, Casey, now you can go forward. You can move forward with the sponsors who have helped today's show, because this show is sponsored by you,
Thank you, people. I didn't know we were going to have a show this week. I think some people came through, so we almost didn't have one. But thank you very much, Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much, Melgar Zadaminsa. Thank you very much, Monica Benza. And thank you very much, you, Wilhelm Haspel, because of you, we are here today, because we weren't going to come if we didn't get anything. So, bought any books either. Oh, three books this week.
The name, the last one was Wilhelm.
Oh, you can say it. I'm terrible.
Some interesting names. Of course, we thank our sponsors and those who might buy the book after watching this show.
Thank you.
Which, of course, will reference.
I'm glad to be
in particular
here.
Yes.
I'm so glad. I mean, I'm always happy to be here. So I'm glad we could be here.
But ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourself, because in the next 2 or 3 weeks, then we're going to be launching Volume 10 of My Confessions. Mm-hmm. That's going to be a very interesting episode in My Confessions series saga, and probably the most important and relevant of them all. But in any case, here we are on May 4th with... You're gonna still enjoy Medio Ebol, the track by Vincenzo Viceversa, between the first and the second track of this show. Second part of this show. The reason why we have a first part and a second part, and this needs to be clear for all of you who are watching us on YouTube, is that because of the increased censorship exercised by YouTube algorithms, we have decided to preserve the hottest topics that might get censored for part two. So part two is only for the people who tune in on X. We are also broadcasting on X, Ordo Illuminatorum Universalis is my profile on X. They never reinstated my Leo Zagami profile on X. They talk about other people being reinstated, but I haven't. So. But we have Ordo Illuminatorum Universalis. Sometimes some nice people share the content and they make it viral. Some other times they don't. In any case,
come on, share it today, guys.
Then we have people following us already on Rumble. They will get the whole show, part one and two. But remember, if you're following us on YouTube, you immediately need to subscribe to our Rumble channel or on my Ordo Illuminator Universalis profile on X, so you can follow part two of the show with the extra content. I need to reiterate this. I know it's boring, but it's important. It's very important.
It's better than the PayPal reiteration. I'm so sick of that one.
PayPal?
But yeah, we don't have PayPal.
Well, we don't have
them from PayPal.
But we have PayPal.
We have this and that. And blah blah blah.
Okay. So how can the people help us out? How can the people help us out? They can help us out by donating through GoFundMe and through Cash App. You can find the Cash App handle at leozagami.com.
I'm going to now. Buy a book.
Or you can buy a book.
If you have all his, you can get mine.
That's true. Here's your book.
They're entertaining.
Yes. Okay. Okay. That's good.
There's another one too. I don't know where it is, but it's like volume two. So.
Okay.
And my cookbook is it's on hold right now because I must do my volume 10. So I'm not doing my cookbook.
Editing.
I have to concentrate, guys. So.
Yeah. She has to concentrate. There's a lot of work to do.
It's a lot of work.
It's seven chapters. You're gonna be.
I haven't read it. I haven't started yet, but I'm about to start.
Starting next week. So
yeah, prepare myself.
Prepare yourself. Okay, at this point, let's start with a bit of news before getting into the topic of the day, because, of course, we have some news, but the news is always connected the most interesting, well, we can say that a little bit between brackets, but it's a little interesting, not so interesting, but it is Biden. Biden, who presented his medals of freedom to his friends, because, you know, when these presidents are at the White House, they then tend to give all their friends a medal, a recognition. One of the Medal of Freedoms was given to climate extremist John Kerry. He's very tall. Joe was getting a little bit confused. He was having some problems in putting this collaret on John Kerry. Check this out.
He worked for peace, negotiated arms control, and forged the historic Paris Agreement on climate change. He built on that work as the first ever special presidential envoy for climate. His bold and relentless public service reflects his enduring belief in America, where our best days are still to come.
Definitely, they're still to come, because until you have Joe Biden, they will never come. That's the big problem here. Now, check this scene out, because now he's about to strangle him. Joe can't get even the basic things right. That's
Mr.
a big problem.
Fumble fingers.
He has some problems. But then in the same ceremony, there was also another of these old folks, of course, close to Joe Biden, one of the most known, sadly, persons who has unleashed hell upon America. I'm talking about?
Who?
Nancy Pelosi.
Oh, there's so many of them. Unleashing hell on America.
Yeah, but Nancy,
it's like coming from all angles.
And Nancy Pelosi is really Nancy Pelosi. Well, terrible. She's still around.
Known forever as the greatest speaker of the House in American history.
The greatest speaker of the House in America. What are you talking about? The daughter of a mafia boss? No, whatever. This is insane.
Thank you.
me say, I mean, it's just pathetic, the whole thing. And Joe Biden, of course, he does his little party there in the White House, invites a few friends, and then usually goes back to Delaware, and that's it. I mean, it's just pathetic. What he does weekly in this presidential race, which is, of course, he's, of course, losing the presidential race. Huh? He is losing it. He's totally losing.
I wonder why.
Distinguished guests, the President of the United States.
Relentless curiosity, inventiveness, ingenuity have led to deep trouble. Hang on to your hat, hang on to your hope, wind the clock, and tomorrow is another day. You know, I always kid. I was taught by the Norbertine.
No, I mean, can you imagine another 40 years of this? It's going to get worse.
No.
I mean, it's
no,
like,
no. We can't take it anymore. We're done. We're finished.
Well, hey, hates me doing ad libbing. Protect LGBTQ.
He lost himself there, LGBTQ, Ixilon, whatever. He kind of lost himself.
Forging her. She continues to compete this summer at the Paralympics at age 27. Hearing from my grandpa, his name was Ambrose Finnegan. And, you know, he was an All-American at Santa Clara, was playing football back in 1905. And I grew up always hearing about Jim Thorpe. I'm serious. Incredible. Anyway. She's not only the only person receiving this medal. She's also a longtime advocate of inclusivity in the sciences, by piercing together and everything that she's done.
What is he doing? What is he saying? Save us! It's incredible. Huh? I mean, it's just what a spectacle.
And by also. We want to honor in the National Union. And Nixon won my state by 60% of the vote, but I was down and championing, just learning from him. And guess what? I won anyway. Michelle Yeoh, her roles transcend gender, cultures, and
language. Transgender. I can't get it right.
I can't do this anymore. I can't look at him anymore. I can't stand this guy.
Languages. Another inspiration, not just to me, but to Bob Dole. On January 6th, Nancy stood in the breach.
Ah, January 6th, because they always like, he likes
oh,
to
no,
react.
I
mean, the
it.
Main person responsible of January 6th was amongst them. It's called Nancy Pelosi. And then the main person responsible for this climate change alarmism and fake news is not John Kerry also. There was John Kerry, and we saw him taking the word, but there was also Al Gore, the father of all climate change lies.
Oh, yeah, that guy. He's totally.
Absolutely.
And defended democracy. With her husband, Paul, they stood up to extremism and with absolute courage, physical courage. My fellow Americans, I congratulate the Presidential Freedom Medal recipients and their families for the relentlessness and curiosity. And now I'm going to make sure we provide those medals and put them around your neck.
So. John Kerry really didn't get it. I mean, whatever. Pathetic. Nancy Pelosi. And then we have, like I said, also Al Gore. Al Gore is really the father of all climate lies. These were the worst people ever. They could have. And then what? Okay. Did he fart?
Let's give one more round of applause for this year's Presidential Freedom Recipient.
Okay, bring him, I don't know where, but out of the White House, because this guy is too much. We needed to focus on him a little bit, because, of course, it's incredible people can even think about voting him. No? This was a week in which we saw a lot of Marxism, a lot of communism, a lot of anarchy, all in one place, the campuses of America, where, of course, there was a lot of anti-Semitism. But as you will see in a moment with Karl Marx, anti-Semitism was part of his message. Paradoxically, he was Jew. And this is something that we will also need to explain during the special dedicated to Karl Marx and the birth of a Satanist. But let's move forward, because we have still a lot of news to discuss this week here at the Leo Zagami Show before entering into our special. We are, of course, about to witness a new trip by Xi Jinping to Europe. He lives in China. He's going to come to Europe, go to Europe, because nowadays he's basically wanting to take on a new role, the role of peacemaker. He wants to work out the role of peacemaker for what is happening in Ukraine. However, once again, even after the 60 and more billions that we have given to Ukraine, there is news that Ukraine forces are not really winning at all this confrontation. The Ukrainian forces are losing, and Zelensky has... while the Russian forces are advancing, Zelensky has told his commanders, Ukraine must defeat Russia to join NATO. Basically, a mission impossible. I see this money that was paid without really the consent of the American people, bypassed by these swamp
Mike Johnson
and those swamp creatures in Washington, D.C. I see it as a last payoff for having participated to this insane war against Russia. You know, like, let's give him the last payoff. Zelensky is going to buy more villas, more yachts. It's happened already that there is apparently news coming from Italy of more land and more villas purchased by Zelensky. But like I said, it's a payoff. He's going to be paid off. The war is going to be finished the moment Trump comes back into the White House, because, of course, that's it. And so we have basically thrown money out of the window, courtesy of Joe Biden and courtesy of the military-industrial complex, which, of course, has made a lot of money around this whole thing. You know, but the truth about what is happening at the moment is that Russian forces are advancing. Ukraine is struggling to build new defensive lines. And the only ones who are really believing in this war are Joe Biden, the Democrats, and Great Britain. Because this is another thing. In Great Britain, we have a conservative government which exercises, though, the same kind of propaganda and influence regarding this war that the leftist forces here in America. So you see, together, they are able of carrying on this war. But now Xi Jinping is coming, is going to Europe. He's going to visit France. He's going to visit also Hungary. So he's going to visit Viktor Orban, which is an interesting thing, because Orban, of course, we saw him also very close to Donald J. Trump in going to Mar-a-Lago and stating that at the moment he finished meeting with Trump, he said, you know, that this war is going to end up when Trump is in the White House. The Libertarian Institute has written this article saying Russian forces are advancing in several places across the 600-mile front line in Ukraine, straining Kiev's ability to build rear fortification. Some in the Ukrainian military fault the country's leadership for not building stronger second and third line defenses last year while Russian troops were stalled. According to a dozen Ukrainian soldiers, government official and construction company director who spoke with the Associated Press, Kiev is struggling to set up new defensive line as its forces retreat. So in warfare, this is basically simply called defeat. Retreat is defeat. The sooner, the better we get this war out of... But the problem here, you see, is that in the Orwellian never-ending war setup, the moment in which this war is finished, Taiwan will start.
Why? And
because then we will have a whole bunch of other problems that will erupt with China invading Taiwan. So at the moment, you see, the world economy can't really take on two wars of that magnitude. We have, of course, the problems that are continuing in Israel and in the Gaza Strip with Hamas that doesn't want to really accept this deal fully. They have only 1 week, and then Rafah will be finally invaded. But the interesting thing that was brought up in the last few hours is that the United States apparently have demanded Qatar, which I guess, which is for the last few years, apart from being one of the biggest sponsors of Hamas, probably the bigger. Everybody talks always about Iran, but Qatar gives even more money than Iran, even if Iran helps in the logistics, in the military training, in the equipment. But Qatar has a key role because they guest also the head of Hamas in a luxurious villa. He lives there while all his Palestinian people are suffering in the Gaza Strip. Well, will Qatar accept the United States demands of expelling Hamas if the group rejects the Israeli truce deal? I don't think so. I don't think that will ever be possible. I think that the U.S. can carry on demanding to expel Hamas, but Qatar will never accept. You will understand more about all this when my book comes out and the reason why they will never accept. So these are the wars that are being carried on at the moment. We said that these wars are never-ending. We also saw the fact that Xi Jinping wants to have a bigger role in an eventual peace deal, which is inevitable. Of course, it's inevitable. The moment in which they all know that Trump is about to come back into the White House, so they need to hurry up to make it happen, no? And to not make brutte figure. So Xi Jinping heads to Europe looking for a larger Chinese role in Ukraine. And of course, one of the countries in which they will that will host Xi Jinping will be also Serbia. There was, of course, the bombing of the Chinese embassy there that kind of made the Chinese very upset, especially with America. So this is what is happening at the moment at the geopolitical level. In the meantime, Jerry Nadler, who is that very ugly, fat Democrat, said something regarding Netanyahu that seems to be pretty strong in the language. No, Jerry Nadler stamps Benjamin Netanyahu as worst leader in 2,100 years. 2,100 years. Pretty big statement by Nadler. Now, what we would like to know is how people, no? Because people who these days are so anti-Semitic, anti-Jewish, can really carry on with their anti-Semitism, especially when they see that George Soros has basically financed all these idiotic students that were carrying this anti-Semitic protest in every university in America. So now all the people like Nick Fuentes, Kanye West, and all those alleged conservatives that carry on these terrible ideas of, you know, they are like sustainers of Adolf Hitler. Well, they are in league with the people from the left. So they kind of like, these are your buddies, basically. All those people who continue with this never-ending charade of anti-Semitism, well, your buddies are George Soros and all the leftists and Peter and people like Nadler. So, well, now you know that you are in the wrong. You know that you are definitely in the wrong. America, no? When you are basically on the same side of these Democrats, of these leftists. But let's move forward with yet more news. In London, we had the elections for a new mayor. We know that for the last few years we had a mayor that is a Pakistani mayor, Sadiq Khan. Now, Sadiq Khan, the leftist Sadiq Khan, who is a Trump hater, has managed to win his third term as a mayor, defeating a pro-Trump opponent by 10 points. There is basically no hope for London. London is fallen to Islam. They have raised once even the flag of Pakistan over Westminster. You were in London a couple of times with me. You never lived in London like me, but I was able to show you around. And you were also shocked by what you saw regarding the Islamic people being so feeling so entitled about the city of London, like they own it these days, and they are everywhere and anywhere. So what was your impression, Christine?
Well, it was just that I wasn't expecting in the apartment building that we were going into, in the flat below your flat, the flat of your family, that I would see Death to America and a flag like that, you know, so.
It was insane. It
made my heart, you know, just hurt, and I didn't like to see it, and I was sad because it was like pretty much my first impression, because I had just like come from the airport, and it ruined it, and it just continually got ruined because I had this impression in my head of this fantasy of London.
And then all the pubs were closed,
and it wasn't like what I thought. Well, it was not like what I thought. But then people tell me that New York is not the same either. It's been since 1997 that I was in New York.
Major cities have changed, unfortunately, in the hands of the lefties, who are, of course, encouraging this Islamo-communist, Islamo-fascist takeover, because it's all part of a plan that wants to destroy the Judeo-Christian identity of Europe, for example, but also the Judeo-Christian identity of America, because America has definitely its roots in Christianity, but also with a great help from the Jewish world that have helped in a way to establish this incredible country. Now we have millions of Muslims here in America. We have also those indigenous ones from the Nation of Islam, but those are kind of a bit particular, and they are also very anti-Semitic. The Masonic roots of the Nation of Islam, there is a whole chapter.
I don't have anything wrong with anybody, you know, I don't, anybody. But I have problems with people that are living in this country and they don't appreciate it. And they don't appreciate that. It's just about people that are here that don't love America and don't appreciate
of course,
America,
it's
and
a what America yeah, but burned. The problem here that people, and watching those campuses and all that chaos in the name of Palestine, people shouting death to America, Hamas and all that, being basically, Democratic Party becoming sort of an outlet for Hamas is insane. These are terrorists. The crazy thing about what we're seeing here today, and that needs to be stopped as soon as possible, is that unfortunately Islam doesn't integrate in the West, because even those who claim they are moderate Muslims, their ultimate goal is to establish this Sharia worldwide. So, you know, you got, somebody says there is no such thing as Judeo-Christianity. Either you're Christian or a Jew. No, sorry, that's not true. Because Jesus, first of all, was a Jew, and he was not a Christian, because you can't, it would be like myself inventing myself as a Zagamian, because this is the new religion. No, it doesn't work like that. He was a rabbi, he was a Jew. Either you accept it, or either you can create a false myth of some kind. Of course, he wasn't a traditional Jew of sorts, because he established a new school, a new faction, a new religion. That then after we have, of course, the Christianity of the origins.
That he was persecuted for.
Yes, but also there was the Christianity of the origins with James, and then we have the Christianity of Paul. Paul, who allegedly never met Jesus, some say he might have, but who knows? In any case, he shouldn't have met him, because he was already dead by the time Paul converted on the way to Damascus. This is basically what we are facing here. We are facing a religion which has some problems in, let's say, adjusting to a new setup. However, we need to understand that there is already 3 to 4 million Muslims living here in the United States who are American, and it would be a little bit difficult to suddenly, you know, deport them. I mean, you can't deport them. They're part of America, so you have to accept that they are part of America. You simply have to understand a way to make them, to integrate them better, to actually encourage this anti-Semitism, this whole thing that is happening in the universities, which is, of course, also encouraged most of all by the professionals who work with George Soros. George Soros has financed these professionals. They found them in UCLA, in the other universities, people who are 40 years old, professional agitators, anarcho-communists, who have only one goal: bring money home, and at the same time create chaos. And to do this, they're sponsored by Soros. Soros is encouraging. And people say, but Soros, isn't Soros Jewish? Listen, guys.
So was Adolf Hitler.
Karl Marx. So was Adolf Hitler, and so was Karl Marx. The worst enemy
of the Jew is the Jew.
Is always the Jew. Always, always, always. There's no, it's no trying to find an alternative. No, that is the truth. The worst enemy of the Jewish persons, of the Jewish people, are always the Jew. And some people say, but, you know, the Sabbatean Frankists were not even around with the Talmud, and the Talmud is even... Guys, here, religiously speaking, each one can stay on their own position. But we can't become anti-Semitic and against a whole race of people, because that is completely unacceptable.
I wouldn't like that very much.
So I think that people also need to understand that there is good Christians, bad Christians,
yeah,
good Jews, bad Jews,
definitely,
and good Muslims, maybe even good Muslims. Now, I've had my own experience with Islam, and that's why I'm writing, and I'm just finished a book which is going to be published in the next few weeks, that's going to finally reveal you the Illuminati of the Middle East, and also the importance that they had for the whole development of the Illuminati here in the West. And I can tell you that in my own experience, there is very few Muslims who don't have the mission of establishing the Sharia. But those who have a direct relationship with God, who are not in organizations, because organizations are corrupt. But we can say that organizations and institutions are corrupt even in the Christian world.
Absolutely.
So that is something. Organized religion leads to corruption. Islam is also used by the Illuminati, and people still haven't understood why they have become so important for the establishment of this new world order. That's why I decided to write a book, to finally explain this almost 1,000-year-old alliance that exist between the Muslim world and the Western world, the Christian world, this alliance that was basically established a long time ago and then was re-established again and again, will demonstrate that we both have our own responsibility in what is happening here. However, it's important to understand the responsibilities, become aware, and eventually arrive to a peaceful coexistence.
That would be so nice.
Which, you know, is very important. You want to do your own Sharia, do it, but not in the Western world. When I see Sweden, that used to be the country of liberated people, maybe at times even too liberated in the 70s, because they gave birth to Swedish porn. But now it's like Sharia-dominated suburbs where basically Western people have to be scared of going around, and women have to cover themselves, otherwise they will get some Sharia freak arriving from behind the corner and stabbing you. But this doesn't work. It's not possible to have this kind of coexistence. Coexistence is about respecting the fact that we have part of the world that has developed in a certain way because of Christianity, but it's also true that we have an immense debt with the Islamic world. When there was the Dark Ages, it was them who brought us back all that culture that was lost from ancient Greece. And even the algorithms were invented. The word algorithm is because of a Muslim mathematician who created it. So this is very interesting, because the algorithm is the problem that we have today. The algorithm is the problem that in a few minutes will make us close down here on YouTube and move to Rumble and X. The algorithm is actually part of Cyber Satan's plan. So that's quite interesting. Yeah. But then we have also things that have helped us. I mean, algebra. These are all part. They all come from the Arab world and from a specific place in the Arab world, which I talk about in my book. But
God, algebra, that's really smart.
So, but what happened then? Something happened. There was the fall of the House of Wisdom, and there was the beginning of another group of people that raised with the House of Knowledge. I don't want to say more about all this. It all happened between Baghdad and Cairo. And in the end, Islam has kind of went back instead of going forward. They could have moved forward and create a beautiful civilization. Instead, they didn't manage. They didn't manage. They failed, and they became manipulated more and more, and then in the end they went back to some savagery and barbarian acts that unfortunately we carry still today with the acts of Salafi jihadism. But I want to make you understand that here is not about blaming a specific ethnicity. Is about blaming some ideology. Now, Karl Marx was Jewish. So Karl Marx can, in the eye of a typical anti-Semite, being the epitome of, you know, instead, Karl Marx, we discovered that his family converted to Christianity, that he grown up as a Christian, reacted against Christianity, reacted against his Jewish roots, became himself an anti-Semite, and became somebody who hated religion. And this is really the mystery that today we need to unfold in regards to Karl Marx and the birth of a Satanist that happened 206 years ago on the 5th of May, 1818, I think. if I can't remember well, let me check. Just that I don't want to get the dates wrong here in regard to the birth of Karl Marx. But in 2018, there was the 200-year anniversary. Karl Marx, in fact, was born on the 5th of May, 1880.
Ooh, he's ugly.
Now, it's very important to understand the relevance of Karl Marx, because today, the soon-to-be most powerful nation on Earth, if we continue with the decline of America, China, glorifies Karl Marx. Karl Marx is their hero. Karl Marx is like a god for them. Jesus Christ doesn't exist for them. Karl Marx does exist for them. Let me show you how the supreme, you know, supreme council, if you want to call it like that, of the Communist Party celebrated in 2018 at the Communist Conference Karl Marx 200th birthday anniversary with Xi Jinping.
Please all rise and for the international.
The birth of an antichrist, Karl Marx. You are watching the Leo Zegami Show with Leo and Christy Zegami. We would like to thank our sponsors who made possible this show.
Okay, so Bruce and Monica Benta and you, Wilhelm Haspel and Margarita Minson, thank you very much. Thank you, guys.
So, guys, now let me repeat because I think it's not clear for everybody who's watching us. X is going to carry on the second part of the show as well as Rumble. The people who are watching us on YouTube, remember, you no longer have access to the second part of the show if you stay on YouTube. So I would suggest to immediately go on Rumble to the Leo Zegami channel, or on X, Ordo Illuminatorum Universalis. Please continue to follow us also for the second part of our show. Here we have Medieval by Vincenzo Viceversa between the first and the second part. I think it's the ideal track that we can use as it was our opening track before. So we would like to have it still present in our show, this time as a divider between the first and the second part of the show. For those who have followed us on YouTube and for some reason can't follow us on X or Rumble because in their own country is censored. There's some countries where Rumble is censored. Like France, Indonesia, or Russia, for example. We will upload the whole show on Telegram, on Leo Zegami on Telegram, Leo Leon Zegami on Telegram, and on BitChute in the coming hours. And of course, on band.video.
In that time, our world has taken so many steps in the wrong direction. In the negative utopia, science, technology, social organization, dehumanization, in the negative utopia, science, technology, social organization.
Gonna be citing from volume 7 regarding the problem that we have today in the world, the communist virus, Marxism, Karl Marx, birth of a Satanist.
Okay. The future communist ideology, where it was elaborated in perfection to lethal levels by some of its most distinguished members, including the utopian socialist Philippe Buonarroti.
Philippe Buonarroti, okay. Buonarroti. Ecco, no, it's very important because Karl Marx influence comes from the Illuminati. This was also discussed by Rabin Marvin Antelman, but also I found some other connections that I discuss in volume 7 of my confessions, as well as in volume 5 of my confessions. So, Buonarroti was an Illuminati. He founded a secret society called the Sublime Masters, in which there were 3 degrees, and on the 3rd degree, the ultimate solution was to establish a communist agrarian society, which inspired very much Karl Marx. Karl Marx was inspired by that, was inspired, of course, but he was also paid by the League of the Just, established by a disciple of Adam Weishaupt, to write his manifesto with Hegel, the manifesto, the communist manifesto that has changed forever the course of history. Karl Marx himself was not really a worker. He talks about workers and giving, you know, the workers need to struggle and fight and all this. But in reality, the guy thought they were just useful idiots that he could use to establish his own goals. Because in the end, the communist countries become just like any other place. You have an elite that becomes a sort of aristocracy, and you have a royal family in a dictator like Kim Jong-un, for example, in North Korea, which then his father, his grandfather, they kind of, you know, they are just like any other royal family. So it's just substituting one evil for another, but in this case is more evil. The goals that the Illuminati had, that Adam Weishaupt had, was to destroy the monarchies because they were in contact, they were representing the religion, and they wanted to destroy religion as well as the monarchies that protect them. So this is the plan of the Illuminati. And of course, this plan was carried out also by the Sabbatean Frankist. So in the end, we can see that there is definitely with Karl Marx an involvement of the Sabbateans. But let's move forward with what you were reading.
Who will then, Philippe Bonarotti, who will then influence Sabbatean Frankist Karl Marx, who will later influence Mao Zedong, the founding father of the People's Republic of China, whose form of communism, loyal to the original plan of the Illuminati and its Jesuit supervisors, will give us the infamous China virus. As you can see, everything is connected in this insane world, and without Weishaupt's diabolical creature, we would have probably lived in a very different world today, where all monarchies of any importance are dead, and what we perceive as democracy still reigns, but for how long? Since 1850, most of the property-based injustices have been lifted, and the world as it existed before the French and American Revolution is only a historical memory. But where are we headed today, if not towards the abyss of uncertainty and despair, thanks to our ignorance? Cicero once said, "Not to know what happened before one was born is always to remain the child." And for the very same reason, I'm here at times boring you with these historical facts. Names and dates and all the rest.
We can eclipse now on that, but of course, it's very interesting. Volume 7.
That's why I got to clear my brain.
Okay. Now, regarding Karl Marx, regarding who he was, I would like to dig deep into this character. We said he had Jewish origins, so I think that the best thing possible here is to dig deep in his Jewish origins, to understand where was he coming from, this Jewish-born Karl Marx. Rabbi Marvin Antelman, who is, of course, now deceased, but he was a great author in regards to the Sabbatean Frankist. He was definitely an expert. In selecting the title for his two books, he actually took a concept which was explicated by Karl Marx about religion. In fact, the books of Rabbi Marvin Antelman are called To Eliminate the Opiate. So this concept was taken by Karl Marx, and the full statement was, "Religion is the lament of the oppressed, the soul of a world that has no soul," and I'm quoting, of course, citing Karl Marx, "the hope of a humanity which has lost all hope. It is the opiate of the people." This has been reduced in quotation books to religion is the, sometimes translated as opium rather than opiate, which seems to be the more correct translation, says Marvin Antelman. Communism has never brought anything positive to the world. In fact, in celebrating, but we're not really celebrating, because what you're going to celebrate, the birth of a Satan, the birth of a Satanist, there's nothing to celebrate here 206 years after the birth of Karl Marx. It would have been probably better if that day the father of Karl Marx did something else with the mother. But this is the result of that birthday, unfortunately.
Happy birthday, Karl Marx. You co-wrote the Communist Manifesto, which is right up there with the Unabombers for the best manifesto of all time. Its basic tenet, that capitalism leads to class oppression and will eventually be superseded by a socialist order. Sweet! In fact, it was such an awesome idea that a bunch of countries tried it, like Lenin's Soviet Union, featuring mass imprisonment, Mao Zedong's China, with widespread famine, Castro's Cuba, featuring animal-powered farm equipment, and Maduro's Venezuela, toilet paper lines for days. Plus a bunch of other countries that don't exist anymore, like East Germany, Yugoslavia, and Czechoslovakia. Talk about a most excellent run. And there's even communist nations still around today, like North Korea, but they won't admit it because it's so successful they don't want to rub it in the rest of the world's faces. So here's to you, Karl Marx. Happy 200th birthday, bro.
Well, now, now it's 206. Imagine a world with communism. It's a nightmare. Well, this is the John Lennon parody by the Babylon Bee. Imagine a world with communism.
Imagine there's no bread. It's easy if you try. No tacos or hot sauce. Nothing cold or fried. Imagine all the people living in the gulags, yeah. Imagine there's no money.
No money.
It isn't hard to do.
Not hard to do.
Nothing to eat or drink now.
Not a crumb, not a drop down.
Someday you will join us.
You'll join us.
Or we'll shoot you in the face. Imagine no possessions, because all your stuff was redistributed.
That's a good thing.
Lots of greed and hunger.
Hope you like cat meat.
But seriously, please, can I have a potato?
grim reality communism. So imagine that reality. Karl Marx was a Satanist guy. Karl Marx was a Satanist, and Georg Jung, a friend of Karl Marx, in a letter to Arno Rouge on October 18, 1841, when Marx was 23 years of age, wrote, Dr. Marx, Dr. Bauer, and Dr. Feverbach are associating for a theological philosophical journal. May then all angels gather around the old Lord, and may he have mercy on himself. For this free certainly will throw him out of his heaven and sue him on top of it. I mean, the hate that Marx had for religion was pretty intense, guys. In fact, I think that it synthesized better in this brief explanation about the opium of the people.
Sixty-second adventures in religion. Number one, religion as social control. Karl Marx was a German philosopher, economist, and the least funny of the Marxes. In the snappily titled Contribution to the Critique of Hegel's Philosophy of Right, he famously called religion the opium of the people, in that religion was not only used by those in power to oppress the workers, but it also made them feel better about being oppressed when they couldn't afford real opium. He thought that if the comfort blanket of religion was taken away, at last the workers would have to do something about their terrible condition. In Marx's dream of a communist revolution, religion would be abolished and the workers would be so happy being equal, they simply wouldn't need it anymore. But unfortunately for Marx, the revolution in Russia came after he had died and gone to wherever it is that atheists go. And by then, Stalin and his gang had proved there were lots of other ways to oppress people which didn't have any of the fun bits of religion, or indeed opium.
Okay, apart from these brief clips that just, you know, kind of at least bring us to a more relaxed, contrary to popular opinion, however, Karl Marx did not originate the Communist Manifesto, which everybody, you know, directs. I mean, of course, he was the one who put down this manifesto, who, you say, wrote it. The Manifesto of Communism is definitely something that it's always referred to Karl Marx. But in reality, there was a Bund, Der Gewerkschaften, which was the League of the Just, this German Bund, this secret society that will later become known as the International Communist Party. Where did it originate from? Well, of course, from Adam Weishaupt. So we go back to the 1st of May, 1776. That's why in Europe there is always May Day, the day of the workers, and everybody celebrates. One of the biggest communist organizations was actually called the Spartacus Organization. Spartacus was the initiatic name of Adam Weishaupt in the Illuminati. So this 1st of May that we just saw also in Italy, you know, everybody celebrating the workers there, it gained a prominent status because, of course, it's the day in which Adam Weishaupt first conceived a new social order in the world. He was guided by the Republic, by Plato. Weishaupt was a professor of canon law in Ingolstadt, Bavaria, which was the seat prior to him, that professor of canon law was a Jesuit. That was a Jesuit-led university. Then the Jesuits were kicked out for a brief time, as you know, from the Catholic Church. And so Weishaupt arrived as a professor of canon law, and he was then, as the Illuminati were known as the Perfectibilisten, they were perfectionating themselves. And there were some parallels with Plato's Republic. However, we have in the system of the Illuminati an obvious manipulation that went on, where the lowest degrees didn't really know what was the plan of the upper degrees. So they believed that they were Christians when in reality, real Christianity, they shaped. And this is a topic I touch in volume 9 of my Confessions, mm-hmm. how Adam Weishaupt proposed Gnosticism, a real Christianity. And we know that the first forms of communism were carried on in the Gnostic communities, right at the in the early days of Christianity, when there were still these Gnostics for the first two centuries after Christ, who were trying to push these heretical values, and they at times put themselves in a sort of commune situation where they shared their wives, shared everything, a little bit like later on also Shabbatai Zevi will do, and later after him Jacob Frank. So the Gnostics definitely had an influence, I think. But at the same time, people say Karl Marx couldn't have been a Satanist because he didn't believe in God, so how could he believe in Satan? But this is the Marxist or the communists will tell you to defend themselves from the accusation of being a Satanist, though there is a lot of signs that he was a Satanist. To understand communism, it is well to study Plato's Republic. This is what Rabbi Marvin Antelman suggested. And of course, in the modern Communist Party, there is three classes that still exist. However, the general public tends to think of communism as an order gathering to the working classes and do not realize that the very powerful wealthy men living in free societies of the world today, as they don't understand that they secretly manipulate and control most communist governments, people like the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, with their investments. They had all these connections. So in the end, and then we have, of course, the elite of this communist country that lives like Kim Jong-un, like, you know, showing to his little daughter, one day you can have all this, and at the same time shooting a missile over Japan or something else. The fact is here that we have also a connection between the communist world and, of course, all those organizations, which I have described partly in Volume 8 of my Confessions, that were described by a prominent leftist intellectual historian like Carol Wigley, who teaches to Bill Clinton. Wigley was basically, thesis was that he should reveal the names of the inner communist circle today, and that those inner circle will surprise people. So I think that today, also when it comes to what we're seeing in Israel, people need to understand Israel was founded by the Zionists, but the Zionists were taken over by the labor Zionists, who were a creation of Moses S., who was a mentor to Karl Marx. So Moses S. was the guy who inspired that labor Zionism that corrupted from the very start Zionism, and that sadly gave birth to a state of Israel with many compromises. So this needs to be said, of course. So Karl Marx was expressing and articulating things that, of course, had elements of the Hellenistic ideology. But when he said the religion is the opiate of the people, he was obviously showing his disgust for religion. But then when you put into action the words of Karl Marx, what did you get? What did you get? You get a Soviet Union that was a failure. You get the People's Republic of China that is not really the example of a country where people live peacefully. Or Castro's Cuba, which now is not even Castro's Cuba anymore, because both Fidel Castro and his brother are not in charge of it, obviously. But it's still Castro's Cuba. It is a place where people want to escape from, taking a boat and coming to Florida to find a new life. They aspire, all these communist shitholes, people come from these communist shitholes and aspire to a new life here in America because their expectations are constantly failed in these Marxist countries. This is the truth. So there is no nothing. The original inner circle of the League of the Just consisted of Catholics as well as Protestants and Jews. So we can't only blame the Jews, but definitely we can blame the Sabbateans. So I also wanted to go into the details of what Karl Marx family, because Karl Marx family, his descendants actually then became involved with the Rothschild, with the Rockefellers. So you see, that is the incredible thing here. So Karl Marx, it's important to understand also his family. So here, maybe people will say, can we find out something particular of Karl Marx's family? Of course, we can find things in every family that indicate, you know, maybe the nature of the person. Karl Marx was, first of all, connected, like I said, to his mentor, Moses Hess. But Karl Marx was also hired by the Bund Hierarchy to write that manifesto. And at the same time, he had a very particular family tree. And amazingly, it's maybe more interesting to examine the descendants of Karl Marx rather than his ancestor, because one will find that Marx's family is not only linked with the Rhodes Minor Rothschild nexus, but with the Rockefeller dynasty as well. So let's explore a little bit the Marx family tree. Karl Marx's father, Heinrich, born in 1782, died in 1838, was the son of chief rabbi of Trier, Treves, Germany, originally known as Rabbi Meir Levi. He changed his surname to Marx, which became the family name of the next generation. Rabbi Meir Levi's father-in-law was the previous chief rabbi of Trier. So here we have chief rabbis. We don't have little figures. You know, I don't have just some. Rabbi Moses Meir Levi's father-in-law was the previous chief rabbi of Trier. So Rabbi Moses Low, son of a most celebrated and brilliant scholar, Talmudist, and foe of the Sabbatean conspiracy, Rabbi Joshua Eshel Lowell, born in 1692, died in 1771. Rabbi Lowell was also very prominent in exposing the conspiracies of Jonathan Heschutz, who was a colleague of the champion heroic master exposed par excellence, Rabbi Jacob Ebden. Now, all these names can, of course, become confusing for most people. But Karl Marx's uncle, Samuel Marx, succeeded the rabbi of Trier. And after that, I mean, he had definitely a lot of relatives who were rabbis and who were connected somehow also with the Sabbatean Illuminati nexus. And in a way, we only need to indicate the inspiration he received from Moses Hess to make it clear to everyone that he was connected to the Sabbatean Frankists, because Moses Hess was definitely a person that created that monstrosity, the basis for that monstrosity that is labor Zionism. So we have Karl Marx involved also with the English Illuminati internationalist. Karl Marx was financed by these people, but he also was a person that didn't really live a great life. I mean, Hegel would pay him some prostitutes because the guy was ugly, like you saw. Imagine this, when he died, at his funeral, there were not even 20 people. There were 13 people. So that was the
number. He's so celebrated by China.
And he's still celebrated, though, by China. In China, and these guys, you have to see, for the 200-year anniversary, created a monument that was sent to Germany and placed in the birth town of Karl Marx. And here we see also the demented evil of today's German people. Let's not forget, guys, that half of Germany was East Germany. So let's never forget.
The other half is fine.
Okay, this is what
happened. I lived in the other half.
Here is what happened for the 200 years.
China, a 4.6-meter bronze statue of Karl Marx was getting ready to be transported to the German philosopher's hometown. 3 months later, it is now ready to be unveiled in Trier. The person behind the masterpiece is Chinese sculptor Wu Wenshan.
Now, this is the sculpture, the guy who made this whole thing. I will let him talk after you see how the Germans received this sculpture. It's kind of impressive in the German hometown of Karl Marx, how well he was received by this German communist.
Dignitaries from Germany and China were on hand to unveil a statue of Karl Marx. The larger-than-life bronze is a present from the People's Republic of China to the city of Trier, the town of the philosopher's birth. But the co-author of the Communist Manifesto remains a controversial figure in Germany, where some lived under a Soviet-administered communist government. Yes, we stand by the child of our city, and we deal with Karl Marx in a constructive and active way. And we don't hide Karl Marx, but we are glad to receive this present, this gesture of friendship. The unveiling was attended by supporters of the monument, as well as a number of people who objected. Karl Marx was born in 1818 and died in 1883.
Sad. Let's see now how this artist, this sculpturist, worked on the image of Karl Marx, how he explains his passion for Karl Marx, because in China you have to study his ideology from high school until college. Crazy stuff, guys.
Also the creator in the National Art Museum of China, who spent the last 2 years creating this artwork. For him, inspiration hit as soon as he stepped into Trier. As a child, I started to know Karl Marx through his portrait hanging on the wall of my home. I studied the Marxist philosophy from high school to college, so I have a very clear image of him since childhood. After arriving in Germany and seeing ancient Roman architecture during his time, I was immediately inspired. I like to imagine him still walking on the streets of his hometown and talking with people all around the world 200 years later. 4 years ago, Wu had created another work of Marx, together with fellow philosopher Friedrich Engels, erected at a central compilation and translation.
This is the guy who paid for his prostitutes.
In Beijing. Through his work, Wu is committed to interpreting how Marx and his philosophy links the East with the West. Times have changed. My work has gained much of the world's attention because China is standing at the center of global stage. As such, I've created a walking Karl Marx that matter is evolving and eternal. As a Chinese artist, I would like to express my understanding of Marx as well as to present the integration of Chinese and Western cultures. In this 21st century, China is making more practical efforts to adapt Marxism into the Chinese context. The impact of Karl Marx and his philosophies continue to be felt in many aspects of the Chinese society, from politics to visual arts and education.
This is something that can be accepted by people all over the world. In this way, any aesthetic item like the statue, like a picture, like a song, are all reflections of the common memories. There is no boundaries, no ideological boundaries.
As the world celebrates 200 years of Karl Marx, one thing's for sure. The image and thought of the great philosopher continues to be deeply rooted and relevant for many still. Yang Zhao, CGTN.
Here we are! We actually had a video we wanted to show you after this, but I don't remember exactly where this idiot said this incredible accusation against me. He basically said,
"Well, are you showing it? Are you showing
I'm gonna see if I can find it."
There's been a lot of very heavy infighting.
Chinese Communist Party and for the Chinese Freemasons. He is Benjamin Fulford. In this video, he basically claims the impossible. He says that Trump, the one we see going at the court every day, is a fake person controlled by Leo Zagami.
Oh,
that
God,
the real one.
Fucking idiot.
I mean,
man.
Some crazy.
Fucking idiot.
I know, the guy is completely insane. I don't know if I can find that passage.
Shouldn't give him an audience.
Status as government officials everywhere. Yeah. One of their 109 governments are simply mercenary corporations.
Post protection of one of these mass murdering criminals. Do the right thing and.
I mean,
elected officials, which they are not.
I mean,
post protection of one of these mass.
There is someone who has worked there.
No, I mean, we have to find it next week. Maybe we find it for you. It's hilarious. Nobody's hilarious.
He also said you fucking blew up Japan or whatever.
Yes,
you were in charge of Fukushima or whatever. Right.
Yeah.
Oh my God, what an asshole.
The guy used to be a journalist and used to work for Forbes, and at the time he might
be. If you follow him, you're an idiot.
No, but the thing is that he said basically that I couldn't understand how.
Your life invested in
this. See if I can find that passage, specific passage.
Society has actually existed for thousands of years since the original King of England, Edmund.
Thousands of years.
Some secret society. At one point, he makes the statement. The statement is, like, I have to find it. I have to go through the
video game. Well, I'm sure.
But in any case, the statement is that basically I control Donald J. Trump, but it's a fake Trump. The real Trump is somewhere protected by the Space Force. I mean, it's like people.
It's worse than Q.
Okay, let's go back to what we were viewing and to the subject of a more serious subject of today.
Thank you.
Because, of course, it is important that we discuss it. Karl Marx definitely was somebody who left a legacy. He fathered three girls with his wife Jenny von Vestal, Laura, Eleanor, and Jenny. Now, it's very indicative that his daughter Eleanor committed suicide in 1898, lived with her common law husband, the English socialist activist Edward Aveling, translator of Karl Marx's Das Kapital into English. So, imagine she suicided herself. So, I mean, they have also some very negative karma. Karl Marx was of Levitic descent, though he was not considered by Rabbi Marvin Alterman for a number of reasons that he painstakingly explained in volume one of his Eliminate the Opiate. He didn't consider him a Jew himself. But because of his Levitic descent, in theory, he was supposed to serve the priesthood, because that's what happens. Karl Marx's immediate superior priest was instead Moses S., like I said, and his acknowledged fact that S. was his mentor, and indeed a very powerful one, like we said. So S. is the link between the man behind the League of the Just and the modern communist and socialist movements, and it's through Est that we can better understand the Sabbatean Illuminati communist socialist connection. As the Sabbatean Frankist nexus began to rise in Europe and was supported, of course, financially by certain Rothschilds, a major concentration of Sabbatean wealth manifests itself in the city of Mannheim in Germany. And at a crucial point in the rise to power, the Jewish community of Mannheim tried to stop the Sabbateans, but eventually they were overthrown by the Sabbateans, overpowered by the Sabbateans that managed to remove the rabbi that was opposing them. So there was really an internal fight that was sadly not really discussed outside of Jewish circles. So that's why there is so many misunderstanding about the Jewish faith, about the Jewish people, because at times these things need to be discussed outside of the Jewish milieu, let's say, about, no? So then people, because especially today where we find all this growing anti-Semitism, people should really learn more about Judaism and the struggle they themselves fought against their own heretics. But we, you know, this struggle is typical to all religions because heretics are present in all major religions. That's the thing. And so we have them in Christianity. I consider the Jesuits to be heretics. I consider.
Who do you think is the worst?
But the Jesuits are definitely the biggest heretic within the Christian world because they have managed to corrupt not only the Catholic world, but the whole of Christianity in one way or another. Imagine that nowadays the Jesuits, who were also the experimenters of communism in what were known as the Reducciones in South America, they were also behind the Illuminati. They were the ones who also inspired the communism. And now we have a Pope who is blatantly and openly a communist, like Pope Francis, who is a Jesuit. Now, I really don't understand how people like Jay Dyer, that author, who often goes on InfoWars, has been defending Christianity over every other organized religion, claiming that they are the only non-sectarian one.
That is complete bullshit.
I mean, it seems like everybody tries to defend their own religion, their own organized religion over everybody else, claiming that one is the only one that is not corrupt. Guys, unfortunately, man-made institutions, especially religious institutions, are by nature corrupt. And then we have, of course, the corruption of the Catholic Church is in front of everybody, but it also assumes a more powerful significance than other religions and sects, because they are the ones behind also the Human Fraternity Document and the upcoming One World Religion, as Pope Francis is an aggregator to all these different organized religions that they want to almost put together in a sort of parliament of religions. So
the anti-pope.
the Pope is the anti-pope. He is the Pope. The Pope is representing a church that nowadays is moving towards a more progressive approach that, I mean, doesn't have the support of most Catholics today, that at times are disappointed with the decisions of the Pope, who seems to have pushed probably too further into the left. Now, recently, is trying to go back on certain things, you know, maybe criticizing the gender and all that. I mean, after he has guested in the Vatican a bunch of drag queens and transgenders, I mean, it's kind of obvious that the Pope is having some problems in keeping his church together. And he's definitely being criticized a lot. So now he's kind of backpedaling on some of the decisions he made. But it's obvious that the product of today's church is the Second Vatican Council, that changed forever the nature of the Catholic Church and later on formulated the basis for what is becoming the One World Religion, which includes all the religion. There is nowadays within Judaism, the progressive side of Judaism, which is basically originated with the Sabbateans, the Sabbatean Frankists, it's ruining Judaism. Today, this progressive side of Judaism is the one that is in charge of Hollywood, is the one that is way too liberal and way too progressive to be called really a traditional Jewish faith can't be represented by this progressive institution, but unfortunately they are becoming the majority in the Jewish world. Then you have a conservative side of the Jewish world, but a conservative side of the Jewish world which is infiltrated and manipulated and finds itself in the end always paying for the actions of these people, who of course would like Netanyahu to get out of his position so they can take over, because you see, conservatives in Israel have managed to have a lot more to say in recent years, but now with what is happening in Gaza, with the whole world criticizing Netanyahu, this is probably the moment in which they want to get rid of him. Netanyahu has always been reputed as an enemy by the labor Zionists, by the leftist factions in Israel. And today, of course, with the fact that even the Orthodox Jews are forced into serving as a military, even those who previously were not serving because of their religious status, it's creating some problems, definitely. But in any case, we are here in front of Karl Marx, the birth of a Satanist, the 5th of May of this year, 206 years after, we have the image of a person who hated the Jews. He himself was a Jew, but he hated the Jews. And he had written something which I would like to discuss a second before we end up this broadcast today, because I think it's important that people have a full understanding about Karl Marx and about the Jewish question, on the Jewish question. This is a response that Karl Marx wrote in 1843, and it was first published in Paris in 1844 under the German title Zu Genderfrage, and basically this essay that consists of two studies by Max Fellows, Jung, Hegelian, Bruno Bauer, these were his mates, his friends, it was an attempt to discuss the political emancipation of the Jews in Prussia. But in the end, a number of scholars and commentators see, in particular, the second section as being anti-Semitic. So there was definitely some anti-Semitism in Karl Marx. The leftists today try to cover it up in some ways. They say, no, but he wasn't being anti-Semitic, he was this and that. So I think that at the moment it's very clear here what is happening in Israel. They want to definitely get rid of Netanyahu because he represents that opposition to the labor Zionists, who in recent years had a lot of problems. They were not capable of reestablishing themselves as the driving force of Israel politics, like they were at the beginning when the state of Israel was shaped. Labor Zionism was actually on top of it all. The whole concept of the kibbutz was born out of labor Zionism. Marx hated Jews and Judaism because I think that in the end he hated also himself. That is a big problem, just like it happened with Adolf Hitler. These are people who abandon their roots, try to create something new, and they hate what they never were part of, because they never managed to be part of. think that is a big problem, no? And then
let me get Rambo.
Okay, guys, thank you so much for following us today in our show. I hope that you enjoyed our attempt to discuss this complex subject like Karl Marx. We will, of course, invite you to follow next week another episode of our show. And I hope that you will continue us to...
Don't bite your mommy.
Absolutely not. I don't think he is capable. He's not capable. Yeah. Oh, what a cutie. What's his face?
I can't see
him. He's so cute. Okay, guys. Thank you so much for following us today. This was the Leo Zagami Show with Leo and Christy.
Let's dance.
I don't do that. Yeah, because he doesn't like it.
We have three songs now.
Share the show, put like, keep on supporting us. We will be back next week with more surprises and, of course, in preparation for the launch of Volume 10.
No easy pickings, but just as long as I have fun, why the devil with the devil, says I. You can have your social teas and bingo for your fun, but the things I like to do, you stop me one by one. Now even if you make me stronger, that ain't gonna make me live no longer. So even if I go to
see you next time,
the devil with the devil, says I.
Look out for the devil, look out for the devil.
Oh, the devil with the devil, says I.